Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, breathe. O breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find thy promised rest. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. End of faith is its beginning. Set our hearts at liberty. Amen. Heard Pastor Walter just read the gospel reading. One of Jesus' sentences may have stuck out at you. Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Now, when the world hears that kind of thing, or when we listen with worldly ears, we think, "See, I knew it. That is exactly what I was afraid that Christianity was. It is just God bossing people around. It's all about rules, commands you have to follow. It's a bunch of people who think that following rules makes you better than everyone else. They make you think that you are on the side of God." And if what Jesus said in our gospel reading wasn't bad enough, John adds in our epistle reading, "And his commands are not burdensome." And worldly ears think, "Oh, sure. Good luck trying to fool us into thinking that by simply saying those commands aren't burdensome, that that would somehow actually make them not burdensome." Now, if you are not thinking of a worldly mind, or at least you don't want to admit it to yourself, you as Christians may be thinking, "Well, just get us out of this, Pastor. We know that Jesus doesn't mean it when he says that kind of stuff, so just do some kind of preaching magic and get us out of what Jesus clearly says here." Well, I won't do that, right? I'm not going to get you out of it. There aren't faithful ways of getting around what Jesus says. He does actually mean that you should do his commandments. When Jesus is talking here, he's not crossing his fingers. He's not hoping that you intuit that he doesn't actually mean it, that what he would really rather you do is go out and disobey everything and anything he happened to say that you don't like. Right? We all know that that would be absurd. But at the same time, John is not crossing his fingers either. They both mean what they say. So, what are we going to do? And I would propose that we just avoid thinking about it for a while. I'll tell you what, here's what we do. You think about something that you like to do instead, right? Think about a game that you like to play. It doesn't matter if it's a card game, a board game, some kind of sports, even if it's just make-believe. Think about that for a while. Think about why you like that game. Think about how that game is played. Maybe think about a time when you won that game or did something especially pleasing to you, some move that was very special. Or maybe let's think about someone who's exceptionally talented at that game. Think about a time when they made such a nice play that you could not help but smile at their ingenuity. That you looked around at the other people who were watching with you to see if they saw what you just saw. Now, if you were going to explain that game to someone, if you wanted to teach them how to play, how they could enjoy the game the same way that you enjoy it, or how you explain how someone so-and-so is just so good at this game, they just need to know it, well, how would you go about that? If they inquired about the game, would you just reply, "Well, do whatever you want, right? It doesn't really matter." You would not do that, right? If they did whatever they wanted, they wouldn't be playing the game. And they probably wouldn't understand it either. Instead, if someone was interested in the game or you were interested in teaching them the game, you would sit down and you would explain the rules to them. And you would tell them, "Yeah, trust me, I know there's a lot of rules to get through at the beginning, but trust me, it will fit together. You will see." right? So you've all learned games like this. It might go first. If you're on offense, they're going to throw the ball. You're going to hit the ball. When you hit the ball, you're going to run over there first. You're going to run over there second. You're going to go there third. And meanwhile, the other team is going to be trying to get you out. I don't know if this is a card game. You're going to say, here, look at the cards you have in your hand. You are going to bid on how many points you think you can win based on what you're holding. Right? Or it could be something even simpler. Little kids play this all the time. You're going to be Batman. I'm going to be Spider-Man. Those guys are the bad guys. But remember, Batman, Spider-Man, they don't kill people. Right? They defeat the bad guys. They turn them over to the cops. I know you have done this. I know this has been done to you and for you, whether you were younger, whether you're older. You have all learned things along these lines, whether it's a game or whether it's a skill or even it's just the new ropes or even it's just the ropes of a new job or hanging out with a new group of friends. And you know that as you learn it, the more it fits together, the more you see what a good play looks like. And you can get skilled at it yourself, or you can at least recognize someone who's good at it when you see it in them. And the more you do it, the more the rules do not feel like restrictions. Rather, they delineate what the game is, right? The rules make baseball different from basketball. The rules make those games different from poker, or bridge, or Settlers of Catan, or Monopoly. I think there's more along the lines of what Jesus is saying for us today. He has been going around preaching and teaching in Galilee and Judea, and some of what he has said has been repeating commands that people heard in the Old Testament, also the commands that we all know in our own heart about how we should live, right? What is right? What is wrong, how we would like to be treated, and probably how others would like to be treated as well, and so forth. But obviously, life is more complex than a game. It's also more dangerous. There are a ton of things that we simply don't know, or we don't understand how they fit together. We don't understand why people at times who we think are good at life get removed, whereas others who we think play very poorly, they cheat, they get away with stuff that they shouldn't. We don't understand why they get to do that for so long. But it is nice for someone who knows the rules, someone in authority, to come and tell us what we should be doing. And when Jesus speaks about the commands here in John, he's chiefly talking about faith and love. So last week we heard Pastor Walter talking about Jesus abiding in us through his word. And this week we hear Jesus tell us about how the Father has loved him, how he loves us, how we are given the charge to love others. But here's the thing, the primary thing we might say, because it comes first, it is the very thing that worldly ears get wrong when they hear Jesus. It is not by obeying the rules that we get on the team. Hitting balls does not make you a baseball player. Rather, being selected for a baseball team, that makes you a baseball player. Following commands does not make you friends with God. Only God makes you friends with God. You did not start out as his friends. You cannot make himself your friend. Rather, to keep with the theme, you were drafted. You were chosen. You were selected. So Jesus says, you did not choose me. I chose you. And so let's be straight about that. Playing by the rules is not what got you here. If you are in your right mind, you know that you didn't play by the rules. Rather, that you are a rule breaker. You are a sinner, and you know that. You're a bad player at the game of life. And yet, for his own reasons, God chose you for his side anyway. No one has greater love than this, that someone lay down his life for or his friends. Elsewhere he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. We did not earn a spot on the team. Instead, God chose us. But now that he has chosen us, you can see that playing by the rules he lays down is a way of working with him rather than against him, being a better teammate, if you will. We also know that Jesus' preaching goes much further, much wider than commands about what you should do or not do. Right? Jesus tells us about our creation. He tells us about the end. He tells us about what is to come. And Jesus says that by doing this, by him explaining to us and laying down why all of this is happening, what he has come to do, what is at stake in the world, that in doing so, he is treating you as friends, let's say teammates, and not as servants. Now you know the field of play. Now you know the boundary markers. Now you know a bit of the tactics that God is using in the world, right? And servants are different than teammates. Jesus says, I'm not calling servants. It's not as if Jesus needed you to do stuff for him. He doesn't need help like that, as if things were in danger of not getting done. Again, think about a game. No one is required to play baseball, and you wouldn't like it if you were forced to do it against your will. But on the other hand, you know that playing games with other people makes them fun. The teammates work together, not because they have to, but for the joy of it. Baseball can be fun with four people. It can be great with 18. Right? And so Jesus adds more and more people to his team. He makes disciples of all nations. He goes out and chooses all sorts of people, all sorts of riffraff, mutts, losers, like you and me, to be on his side. And then as we listen to him, he explains what is going on, and he tells us that he does this in order that his joy may be in us and that our joy may be full. He is going to lay down his life and take it up again. He does this for us, whom he calls friends. And there, right there, that is at the heart of Christianity. That is where we are supposed to dwell. That is the love that compels us. His death for us. Right? So we know whenever we disobey the commands, whenever we run from the life that he has called us to, we are returning to death. But whenever we do that, whenever we get there, it has a funny way of reminding us that we don't want to be there. It also reminds us, wait a second, there's someone who defeated death. There's someone who got us out of this jam before, right? And the Spirit calls the dead with the words of the gospel. The water of baptism shocks us awake. The blood revives us and sustains us. Wouldn't you rather come back and play? Amen.